lady. Sanctuary before you. Amen and amen. Is that your desire? To be a sanctuary for the Lord? Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures. Turn back where we were reading this morning from 2 Peter. Now remember, the Lord willing, Brother Richard will be being operated on Tuesday morning sometime. So remember that he'll be going through the operation there. So just keep him in your prayers. Also remember now this coming weekend, Brother Richard Wilson will be with us. We'll be having a fellowship meeting here starting Saturday at 3:30 and then on into the night, and then he'll be with us, the Lord willing, for the weekend. So just remember that and just keep him in your prayers that the Lord would bless. And I know that God will bless us. He always has. Amen. So just remember that. 2 Peter 2. Father, we love you and we desire one thing from you, and that is for you to come among us this day. We pray that, Lord, the things that you have given us to say would be the things that would be needful. You know, Lord, in our thinking and what we are, and as a human mortal, and as we try, and the best we could do in trying, we would be failures. But as to wait upon you and to walk in the light of your love, then, Lord, we just trust it all to you. Have your way now. Forgive our sins. Bless, Lord, the reading of your word. It's already blessed, but bless us that we may receive understanding. Forgive us when we fail you, and we know that we do, Father, and just cleanse us from all unrighteousness and have your way with us. Lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. If you'd like to turn over in the scriptures to 1 Corinthians 13, we'll pick up in a minute. And a lot of these now, I ran off a bunch, remember, the other day, and all for you, and a lot of these are repeats, but I figured by now they had been either laid down or forgotten or whatever, and we'll try to pick up from where we are and move on. Now, I was trying to bring a message this morning to get a background as to, you know, the way to approach or to understand everything, and I hope it helped you for what we was trying to say and all, and that the Lord would open our understanding. Because, you know, we think, well, there's so many different ways of different churches and things that believe in what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is and things, and one's got it speaking in tongues, one's got it shouting, one's got it this, one's got it that. And like I said this morning, then we say, well, now how can that? You're talking about evidences, because first you got to get the baby here. You get the baby here, you spank the baby, it screams forth in life. But the baby is already alive, you know, a living soul before it would speak in tongues, as we'd say, in the spiritual extent. So that's, you know, we're not trying to deal with, because there are actually churches that teach the baptism of the Holy Ghost as the speaking in tongues. They actually teach that is the baptism. And, you know, I just can't see that part. But then in the message of the hour, there are so many, after all the prophet has said about the things, there are so many avenues of what people believe. And I'm not trying to argue with anyone about what they believe. As I've always told you, you can believe your big toe as being God. That's all right with me. Just don't expect me to kiss the thing, because I just don't want to go along with it that way. I might hit it with a hammer and mess up things, but, you know, you believe what you want to believe. I've never tried to convince my own wife. I've never tried to convince my children, my grandchildren, and the great-grandchild coming along. I will never try to to convince you that what I'm saying is right. I will only try to present to you what I believe and let you make your decision, because that way my wife has to have her own Holy Ghost. I'm not her Holy Ghost. She has to have her Holy Ghost. All right. The kids, I'm not their Holy Ghost. They have to have the Holy Ghost. All right. The grandkids and all, because that's up to them. Now, I can believe for them and pray and all like that and do the best I can, but after all is said and done, you must have your own experience. You're not going in just because that you are kin folks to somebody. You know, I don't believe that. I believe you need your own experience, you know, in the Lord. All right. Now, we were talking about this morning from partial to perfect realization, and it just hit just a little, and then you'll see why in the message as we go through, why that I chose to speak the way I did this morning, because I really had to go in a different avenue sometimes because of thinking about something. You think, well, this has got to be said first, and that's just the way I am, so you bear with me. But we were talking about partial to perfect, and how that, you know, everything in the Bible goes from partial to perfect realization. Now listen to what I'm saying. Brother Branham used the word negative to positive. But yet people are saying, oh no, not negative, negative. See, because see, their mind is locked. Now he didn't have any problem saying negative to positive. Why should we have any problems with saying it? Because in the Bible terminologies, negative to positive is not negative of nothing to positive something. It's partial realization to perfect realization. That's the same thing he was saying. But see, we don't want to use that, so we try to use other words, you know, to give a better understanding. And we've seen that, you know, you can take love and you can go back in the Bible and find the word love, and you'll find it. It just means, you know, love of a man for his wife or things like that, or any kind of a friend, you know. But it goes on in the Old Testament to companionship, which is getting a whole lot closer. Then it comes into the New Testament, and the word love comes into the New Testament as a form of the love of God, because that's what we want. We don't want just our love one to another, even though that's wonderful. Brotherly kindness in the natural is fine, but I want brotherly kindness in the spiritual extent. I want all of these virtues to be that. Then we were talking about charity and how that charity is used in the New Testament. It's a New Testament word, and it all has the same basic meaning. But then when we look at it, we have to be like, you know, understanding how things begin as a baby and grow up. That's my whole point. If you'll study the Bible that way, if you'll study the message that way, you'll find it's not contradictory. See? It has its meaning. Like I said, when the prophet said, I can conclusively prove that you're born again and baptized into the body. Well, see, he was the prophet now.
Right.
He said that. All right. But see, people say, well, I can't see that. Well, all right, pray for a revelation.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's what we're supposed to pray for. Or if not, then you're questioning what he says.
Yeah.
You know, and people say, well, he was wrong here and he was right over here and this is wrong and that's wrong. Well, it's like I've always said. And I'm not sarcastic, I just tell it the truth. If you, me, or anyone else in the world, I don't care whether it's, and if you want me to call names from the top to the bottom, that's all right. I'm not throwing off on nobody. I always say Lee Vale and Samuel Dale because it rhymes. All right? But see, nobody can straighten out a prophet. A prophet stands before no man on earth. He stands before God. Even when he preached the White Horse Rider wrong, there was nobody on earth could correct him, even though Clarence Larkin, probably 100 years before then, preached that the White Horse Rider was the Antichrist. But that still didn't make him right, because he wasn't the prophet. All right? That's the way I place it. Brother Branham is right. But we must give time for things to come together to be able to see it as a beautiful picture. And once it does, then you'll see that was the way he said it was right. All right? Because it has to fit for every age and time. You look at the Bible is the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? All right? But it is a time element at times. It is for this group of people. It is for this group of people. It is for this group of people. It has things in it that is time elements for times on earth. All right. And we live in the end time. The end of all things, that when you know, and Paul was the one, I believe, that said that the end of all things has come upon us. Well, that was 2,000 years ago. Well, was he wrong? Well, you said, boy, he missed it. He missed 2,000 years. No, he was speaking in prophecy. He was looking down through and seeing it, and to him, prophecy was just as real. Because you remember, I tried to express it this way. When a prophet sees something by revelation, he sees it. To him, it's just as real as this, if it's there. That's why the prophet spoke the way they did. Brother Branham spoke like that. It's just like something was right there. I mean, you just, you know, and it may be in 40 years that we've been in this going, but he'd speak and say, there it is. And Paul would say that, and I'll try to illustrate that in a minute to give you a better understanding. But see, we talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I hope you was understanding that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the new birth, and that's at faith. All right. But as you receive those virtues, then you can say the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then you can say the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can just keep climbing on the tape. I'm pointing to a stature of a perfect man. Faith is the new birth. Virtue is a birth. Knowledge is a birth. Temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and all is a birth. And then the headstone will be a birth. Well, see, you can say, well, Brother Dale, have you got the Holy Ghost? If I'm right here at faith, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right. Now, do you have all the Holy Ghost? No.
Right.
See, because there'll a day come when that headstone will cap it off.
Amen.
And when it caps off this church and we go into rapture, resurrection and rapture, then you can say, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
See, then that's no problem.
Right.
Everything Brother Branham says will fit.
Right.
But if you try to wiggle it over this way or do it over that way, see, you'll get it offline
right.
to where that, you know, and like I said a moment ago, if you say, well, Brother Brown was wrong here, well, you're the one that we need to be following.
Right.
I don't mind being that blunt. If you can straighten Brother Brown out, we're to be following you.
Right.
But don't come around with your silly little play purties and we've done been too far, you know. You know, that's why I told a man at my house one day when he was trying to tell me where Brother Brown was wrong, I said, why don't you get in the message or get out one? That's just blunt. I wasn't hateful. I love the brother. He's sitting in my home. He's eating and everything. I said, no problem. You know what? His wife said, Sam, you're right. He needs to get in or get out.
Right.
Well, I just try to be honest and straight. That way, you're not deceived over what I say.
Right. Okay?
See, there's no way that anybody can do that and say, well, I don't know what he's talking about. I'm talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And see, you remember in blasphemous names. Brother Branham preached on the blasphemous names, which was a little bit after the preaching of the stature of a perfect man. And when he did, he took it from a sister shepherd's dream. And she had a dream of this pyramid and the things that was happening and the water and the running down and the honey being the brotherly kindness. And she was wondered whether or not she had the Holy Ghost. Because the way Brother Branham talked about the Holy Ghost, one time he'd be talking about it, and then after a while he'd say, you come all this way and ain't got the Holy Ghost yet. See, it looks like he's totally contrary one to the other. But see, it's easy to understand then if you say, well, I've got the Holy Ghost here, but I don't have all the Holy Ghost. See? And there's more of the Holy Ghost to come. And as it keeps coming, then I can say, I've got the Holy Ghost. And I leave out of this world and go up in the rapture, I can say, I've got the Holy Ghost. Because that's what I've got. The Holy Ghost is the revealed word. Is that true? The Word made alive is the Holy Ghost, quickened in your heart. All right, now, in doing that, then you say, well, do I have the Holy Ghost? If you're born again, yes. But just because you're born again doesn't mean you have all of it. Now, and here is from the anointed ones, and the prophet taught it to us, that you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost on your spirit every day of your life and die and go to hell. So just don't say you got the baptism. Put it where that you understand what you're talking about. Get down to where do you know of a personal experience. Not just I shouted or cried or believed the message or great signs and wonders that happen. No. Don't put it on that. I was 2 years in this message before I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and called a 2-year theologian because I could really quote Brother Branham say it because I read constantly. All right? But now listen. See, in 1962, now you're going to have to listen with me, and I'll give you as much as I can, but I've got a whole stack of quotes in the office that I'll run off and give them to you about the headstone and the capstone and the things. But what I want to deal with is one thing. I've talked to you and preached to you this point. Brother Brown said the headstone had not come yet. All right. I see, that's where everybody thinks it had. Now, that was his statement. The headstone hadn't come yet. Now, individuals can have the headstone. But the headstone in the body of Christ hadn't come yet. Because that's what's going to take us away in the rapture. That's just like brotherly kindness. One or two can have it, but it's hard to have in a group. Yeah. All right. But now these must be in the body. As the prophet said, the church ages come up and the individual comes up. Now, just because maybe you might think you're capped off and have the headstone adopted, that doesn't mean everybody else is. And if you do have that, then you will bear with those who don't have it. All right? Because that will be to the point. And see people to say, well, Brother Branham was adopted early in his life. Well, now, that's all right. That's what you believe. But I believe when he was preaching on the statue of a perfect man that he was trying to be as honest as he could be. He was praying for those things to be brought into his life. And see, 1963 then, he met the Lord out in Tucson, Arizona. The seals broke. He preached his message because Brother Run's message didn't begin until 63. Go to the rapture message and read it. He said, not in years of preparation. See, what he preached from 33 to 63 was laying the foundation, just like Zerubbabel had to lay the foundation of the temple. All right. And see, then when he come on over, see, in 62 there, he was standing there in a position. Now, all right, and he said the headstone hadn't come yet. Now, I want you to listen to, and it's on the life stack that you'd be receiving when you got the 3, so you go to 36 and then go on over. It doesn't have any numbers on it, so you'll know it real quick. And listen to what he says. And then we want to read Paul and see where Paul was standing and see where Brother Branham was standing in 1962. This is taken off Spoken Word's original seed, 1962, 318E, paragraph 105, 106, and 123. Now that's why we got all the things that we got. Now, all these things I've said, if they don't jibe with the Bible or dovetail with God's Word, they're wrong. Now, all this picture, and I'm going to hurry over some of this, not explain it, but just hurry over it so we can get to it. And I promise you, just as quick as I possibly can. I got place here where I got so in the Spirit. Now, I'll give you a background to where you can go to the Spoken Word and read it. Brother Branham wrote the notes. And he got so far over in the notes and he stopped. And he said, Lord, what can I do? No rapture, no change. You remember, and they put it in bold letters now. It's in the church age book as well as Spoken Word original seed. The Holy Spirit said, pick up your pen and write. Now go read the message, get to the dark bold print. It said, pick up your pen and write. All right. Now as he began to write, the Holy Spirit told him to write down something, and it verified that what he was going to bring was right. And as it was bringing it down, then he seen that in Brother Brown seen in his message that there was nothing to go on. He didn't know where to go. You remember one time he said it like this, he said, if something don't happen, he said, I'm taking neither bread and water. He said, I'm going into the mountains and I'm not coming out until God speaks to me. He said, because I'm out here and I don't know what to do. Well, And see, then the Holy Spirit spoke to him, and this is what he's talking about that happened. Now watch. I got here where I got so in the Spirit. I got the church up to show it and prove it in the Word, here exactly what's happened all along. And then when I did, I thought, Lord, I got the people standing here now. I'll have them standing there. What can I tell them? I can't predict the future. I can't tell them what to do. What will I do? I'll leave them sitting on a limb. And I raised up my hand and I said, God, I think I'm doing this for your will. I never did this, never before, because the seeds hadn't been sowed yet. Listen to him. I said, now, and I believe it's time for me to say it, but now what am I going to say now? And just as plain as you can hear my voice, something said, pick up your pen. I'll write it in a minute. I'll read it a minute to you. Now, he reads on later what it said. And when I got through, there it was, just the answer. And Brother Ram is 62. He had a question. All right. Now, watch what he said. I didn't even know what I was writing. Just started writing, and when I got through, I laid the pen down, and I looked, I thought, oh, God, have mercy. There it is right there. That's what I'm looking for. And there's some things I had to bypass. We'll get to that in a little bit. The Lord will it. All right. Now, to save time reading, you get the book, read all the way in between, and read the bold print. Because here, when he gets over to paragraph, or to page 123 of the spoken word, original, that's the composite book. God has promised, be careful. God has promised Malachi 4 for this last day. And Malachi 4 has not yet been fulfilled. Now this is what the Holy Spirit put on his pen to write. You go back and check it on the bold print. In other words, as of yet, Malachi 4 is not fulfilled. 1962. He said, oh, he was Malachi 4 the whole time. No, Malachi 4 is a certain section in the message.
Right. Yeah. Right.
He was a prophet all the time.
Right.
And like I said a moment ago, from 33 to 63, or 62, he was preaching the faith of the fathers.
Right.
Taking us back to the foundation like a Zerubbabel in the building of the temple of the Old Testament.
Right.
All right. So now listen to what he says. God has promised Malachi 4 for this last day, and Malachi 4 has not yet been fulfilled. But it must be fulfilled, for it is a germatized word of God spoken through Malachi the prophet. Jesus referred to it. It's to be just before the coming of Christ the second time. Listen close now. All scripture that has not been fulfilled must be fulfilled before that time. The Bible is to be finished. The Gentile dispensation is to be finished with the church age when this anointed messenger arrives. Of course, he will plant the seed of the entire Bible, come from the serpent to the messenger in the former reign. Then he will be rejected by the denominational people as his forefather John and Elijah, as was spoken by our Lord. People as Elijah was the first time to Ahab's time. It will happen again in this country, as this country is a type of Israel.
Right.
And see, in 1962, Brother Brown's standing there. And when he's preached the statue of a perfect man, he was preached in 10:14 of 62. All right. Now, he has the answer. When he's preaching the statue of a perfect man, he knew that it was going to be fulfilled. And he could do a lot of prophesying, but he's still waiting on God to move on the scene. He moves on the scene in 63 through the opening of the Word. All right? Now, we'll get back to that because I don't want to go any further. I want to just leave that part and let you think about it. All right? Now, and in doing that, he's explaining on the blasphemous names that said the Holy Ghost has been incorrectly taught. Did you just say Holy Spirit? Do you believe that we could show by Paul, looking in 1 Corinthians 13. Now here's Paul that does not now, and I know this is contrary to most people's teaching and things, but I can't help it. That's just what I believe. Because if Brother Branham was right and said the headstone hadn't come yet and would come in this day, then all right, the disciples nor nobody didn't have the headstone. Does that need explaining? Does that need anything other than a flat point blank statement? If it hadn't come yet, then they didn't have it. But now Paul, being a prophet, he could prophesy of the future. He could talk about change in a moment, a twinkle of an eye. Why? Because he's, like I said a moment ago, he's caught up into that. When Naaman back there, he saw chariots jostling in the streets. What else could he write? He couldn't write Buicks and Oldsmobiles running into each other because it says running like lightning, like torches. What? Headlights on the Buicks and Oldsmobiles and all Pontiacs run up down the highway running into each other. Naaman couldn't call them Buicks and Oldsmobiles. He didn't even know the word car. It was not in the vocabulary. So he said chariots jostling in the street. But you know what he saw? He saw cars. See? But how could he describe them? All right. See, when a prophet would see something, he'd see it literally as it happens. All right? It's happening right before his eyes. But when he comes back, he writes it, but he can only write it in his language. Ezekiel saw fire coming down out of heaven. Well, what's that? A nuclear destruction. Fire falling out of heaven like an atomic bomb, see? But he was describing it the best way he could, fire falling down out of heaven. He saw wheels running on a chariot, you know, and a big wheel and a little wheel and all like that. And they, well, I can't understand them. It's simple when you just sit down and listen and think about it. He saw Israel in travel. And as he did, he described it as a chariot. See, when they would see those things, they would see them in perfect order. But when they don't see it, is when they got problems. So you got to admit now what we read. If you want to go back and reread, we'll stay on that all afternoon. In 62, there on Spoken Words, Reading on Seed, Brother Branham's come up to her and he's preaching to a place, and he said, God, I can't go any further. I've got the people out on the limb. What will I say? Go back and read it. He said, what will I say? The Holy Spirit said, pick up your pen and write. The Holy Spirit gave him the answer. What? That as of yet, Malachi 4 wasn't fulfilled. He said, well, but Brother Branham was Malachi 4 all the time. You're not getting the point. There's a position of Malachi 4. There's to be in the last days. A message in the last days. His message begun in the seals and then went on and preached. And look at his message. Even read the titles of all the sermons after 63. Future Home, Greatest Battle Ever Fought, Christ the Mystery, Things That Are to Be, Everything Into Eternity, Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, Who Is This Melchizedek? His message begun in the seals. All right. The others was preaching what the faith of the fathers back. So he, in 62, he had preached up to there. When he went beyond the curtain of time, what did he say? He said, will Paul be judged for what he's taught? Yeah. He said, then I'll go in and know because I taught just like he taught it. He's showing you where he's at. All right. You see, he's standing there waiting on something. In stature of a perfect man, he's waiting on something to take place. And he says, fill me up, Lord, that I may teach others, apostles, prophets, evangelists, right at the last few pages of Stature of a Perfect Man. But listen, we must come to the place to where that we can see the end time. And then we talk about the last thing to happen is charity to come to the church. All right. Then we done talked about this morning that the word charity is used. Paul said, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Let's watch Paul here in Corinthians now, and let's just read what he has to say and see if he knew what charity was But he can only know it as speaking of a prophecy. All right. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You ever heard Brother Brown make this statement? He said, unless that seventh seal breaks, we're only presuming. That's on questions and answers. That he'd already preached six seals. Unless that seventh seal breaks, we're only presuming. What about a man could make that type of a statement when he said, thus saith the Lord, all the way through? Because he's always waiting on something. He's waiting on God to move on the scene to give an answer. Paul, what about you? Paul, you're a great man. You're so great until all the apostles looked up to you. Paul, you're so great until Paul said things hard to understand. He said that others wrestled to their own destruction, you know, trying to figure out what Paul's talking about. So listen to Paul now. You think, oh, this is just simple little things in Corinthians. Listen to what he said. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. He had a pretty good understanding about charity, didn't he? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So he must have been looking at charity as something. Let me just put it this way. Paul was wanting a fulfillment of the scriptures about the Lord coming, changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But he's seen it hadn't taken place. At this point, it hadn't taken place. So he's looking for something. Brother Branham in 62, spoken words written in the seat, he was looking for something. The Holy Spirit had to give him the answer. All right, so Paul, what about you? Verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Now, there's no difference in that word charity. Take my word, or I'll be glad to show it to you. There's no difference in those words, charity, all through this whole entire chapter than there is over here in 2 Peter. It's got the same definition of love. Now, watch what he says about charity. Verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Charity is a wonderful thing. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, those words in cease and doing away there is not saying that tongues will stop. See, he goes on to tell you, for we know in part, partial realization. Listen, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Not done away like annihilated. It's your foundation that climbs upwardly, all right? Listen, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I was really a grown-up guy. No, he didn't say that. What did he say? But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, you and I all used to be little bitty babies, and we done things. Now, when we became older, we didn't put away like destroy, did we? We've learned how to use and do. All right. Look now. For now we see through a glass darkly. You know what you do looking through a glass darkly? You only get a partial image. But then face to face. Now I know in part, or partial, see. But then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Paul, what are you saying? If Paul understood anything at all, don't you think he would have understood that somewhere God was going to bring to pass the things that he had prophesied of? Don't you think so? Don't you think that if he seen and said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, don't you think he seen that? At least in his spiritual mind he saw it. It was a reality to him. But yet when he's back in human element, he's writing down now. I know there's a position to be reached, but I know not how to attain. What must I do? Don't you see he was standing like Brother Branham? I'm spoken words, original seed. Lord, I know there's a lot of things that take place, but how do they take place? You know, pick up your pen and write. Your message will be what will bring it on. All right. And see, that's what we depend on. We depend on, and you'll see when I get to it, that this message is really the headstone.
Amen.
I believe that now.
Right.
I believe Brother Brown's message was the headstone.
Amen.
I'm not looking for another messenger, another message, somebody else to come.
Right.
No. I'm looking for this message to be revealed and made manifest. All right. Now, so then let's get back now for a minute to where we were. And we went through the stature of a perfect man, and we come out to brotherly kindness. And then we stopped and said, all right, now we'll pick up charity. We'll pick up the capstone of it all, charity. So let's read what Brother Branham has to say here for a little bit and see if he knew what these were. But now remember, he's waiting for it. But he knows it's going to come. One time he said it like this. He said, God, it's not hard for me to pray for you to keep your word. Right? He said, because you said it. He said it like this one time. He said, if you can find it in the Bible and bring it to God's attention. Now this is almost a paraphrase quote. He said, you can call God on the scene, and if he don't do that, he said, you can call him a liar. I thought, my Lord, where a man would be standing to make that statement. Because you see, God will keep his word. You just take him at his word. If you need healing, just take him at his word. Quit your playing around or trying to make it happen. Quit trying to work it up and just say, God, I believe you. I believe you. And then no matter how much sicker you get, don't change your testimony.
Right.
Keep saying, by his stripes I'm healed. The prophet said, if you get sicker out of being prayed for, greater sign you're healed than ever, right? That's hard to comprehend. Brother Marlowe sitting there. What did I tell him last Sunday? You say, you are a poor preacher. He made a statement. God had touched him. I said, you're going to be on the line this week, boy. The devil's going to be after you. Brother Dale, I asked him, was he? I didn't bring the devil after him. I just told him what was going to happen. But see, he's here, and he said he feel good.
Amen.
So now what? See? Just believe what God says.
Amen.
I like what Brother Brown said one time. He said, if I was God and they wouldn't take my word, he said, I'd forget it. That's a statement. He said, if I was God and you wouldn't believe what I said. You see, God has proved his word. All right. Now, we're not looking or wondering what is to take place. We're going to be reading here on Wednesday and probably another service or two. We're going to be reading the things that the prophet said would take place. All right. Now, it's up to you and I to decide whether we're part of it or not. If we can't believe it, we're not part of it.
Right.
If we can't say it's us, we're just not part of it. Somebody's going to make manifest the love of God in a form of a headstone. Why can't we believe it's us? But see, there it is. But love is so far out yonder, I just can't. I just get a glimpse of it every once in a while. Quit that. That ain't helping nobody. But see, then the other side of it is, oh, love is just so simple. We're just simple. We just fall into it. No, you just don't fall into it. I fell in love with my wife when she was 16. But my love for her today is a whole lot stronger than that day was. Why? Because we've learned each other. And with all the faults and failures that we have, in August will be 50 years in marriage. All right. You see, it ain't all been perfect. But it's like I've always told you and told her. I wouldn't care. How many knows this statement I'm fixing to make? I don't care for my wife to know every thought I ever have. As long as she hears the last part of that thought. Because the first part of that thought might be pretty bad. Right? Come on. But in just a minute, I realize, hey, that's my wife. And I wouldn't care for her to hear ever thought I have or ever thought about anything and ever had. I wouldn't care for her to know it as long as she heard the last part of it. Because that's the main thing, because she'd realize what's going on. Because I'm human, I can have bad thoughts. But after a while, I get some good ones. How about you? All right, let's start reading what the prophet had to say now. Brother Branham, how can you put up with the people? And you trying to bring a message. So we'll start on number 24 on your notes. You'll see I've been reading a whole lot on this. Statue of Perfect Man, page 45. 1962, 10:14 in the morning. Somebody said not long ago, said, how can you believe these things the way you do and still go to the assemblies of God and the oneness, all the rest of them? Well, see, brotherly kindness, see. Hoping someday, see, patience with him, see, temperance, enduring with him, knowledge to understand what he believes, and remember it's in his heart. That's what it is. Virtue in yourself to let it go out with kindness, meekness to him, having faith that someday God will bring him in, see, brotherly kindness, the seventh. All right. Now you're coming, next thing, then add charity, which is love. That's the captain's stone, one of these days in the church. Now he starts off and he's explaining the doctrine of the pyramids, which is, he said, I'm not a pyramid doctrine teacher. Look at number 25, which is page 47. Now in building the virtue, building this monument, building this statue, see, it starts off in the foundation that's on faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. Now what's it to do? Then they're waiting for the headstone, which is love. Everybody says, oh no, I got the headstone when I got the new birth. Where are you talking about? You didn't get the headstone at the bottom of the pyramid. You got the cornerstone.
Right.
Come on, you got the cornerstone. Even the apostles just got the cornerstone. They didn't get the headstone.
Right.
All right. Let's see what he's saying there. Now they're waiting for the headstone, which is love, for God is love, and he controls. And he is the strength of every one of these things. Yes, sir, right in here. Right in here, see. I got in between all these works in here, and here there's little waves coming. What is that? The Holy Ghost coming down through Christ, see, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is above all this, welding this together, building a what? A perfect church for the capstone to cap it off. What's it being done again? It's manifested through seven church ages and seven church messengers. Now look what he says. Little waves. If you remember on the sister shepherd's dream, there was little waves running up and down the pyramid. which the prophet said was the water that was boiling out all of the trash. All right, now, and watch. Holy Ghost coming down through Christ, see? Holy Spirit, see? What's it doing? The Holy Spirit above all this, welding all this together. You know the story of the pyramid, that Cheops, there was a flange at the top of it, to where the top of it is like this. It comes across, goes up, goes over, down, and flat, up and over. The headstone would have to reverse the fitting of it, and when it does, it sets down on top of that. You can't take out one stone nowhere, because the headstone has it sealed. All right? And in the natural story of the pyramids, because they're even down in South America, that the top of that, where that flange is at, was an altar around that was the stargazers, magi's. All of that goes together with it in the correct order. But see, that's what it does. All right. Go on over now. Look at 26. Save time reading. You read all this in between now because that's why I give it to you. But read what's in what I marked. It said, but the heart of that tree kept growing. In the evening time it shall be light. See, that's when comes Christ, the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes down and sets himself at the head of the church then. And he will resurrect this church, being his own body. In there's the body, and the way God is expecting us as individuals to grow, the way he brought his church in to grow, every church age, it becomes one big church. What's it doing then? Right on down reading, number 27 on your notes. See, these fellas wasn't required what these fellas was. They're down in the pyramid coming up. This wasn't required what this was. See, but he brought his church up the same way. He brought his church up the same way he brings his people up. Then Peter here says, first, seven things. Faith, virtue, see, coming up. Knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly love, and brotherly kindness, and then the love of God. The Holy Ghost. Christ, in the person of the Holy Ghost, comes upon you in the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you got all these virtues sealed in you. Then God lives in a tabernacle called the building, the living tabernacle of the living God's dwelling place. Comes upon you in the form of the true baptism. That's partial to perfect. Not meaning that the new birth at the bottom wasn't true. It was partial realization. Now you got a true baptism. The headstone coming. Now watch. Just keep right on reading. When a man possesses these kind of things, then the Holy Ghost comes down upon him. Now see, when you possess these things, the Holy Ghost ain't coming on you as a headstone without these things. Because like I tried to tell you the other day, what if you was trying to put headstone up here and you ain't got nothing built down here? And see what everybody wants to think about. Well, I got just a little bit of this, and I got a little bit of that, Brother Dale, and I got a little bit of that. Do you think that I'm up here? Well, what do you think? What would be your pyramid? You said it, I didn't. You said I got a little bit of this. And I got a little bit of this. Well, you know, if you got a little bit of this, you'd have a little bit come up here and you move over, you know, a little bit go up here and a little bit over here, a little bit. That wouldn't look like a pyramid. It ain't a little bit that God seals in. It's his love. Right. Now watch. Number 28. But when we, not in imaginary way, but prostrate ourselves before a living God, a living virtue, a living knowledge, a living patience, a living godliness, a living power, coming by the living God, makes a living man a living image, the stature of God. What's he doing? The same thing that Jesus did. Walked the same way he walked. Doing the same things he did. Because it's not an imaginary thing. There's a reality that proves it. Now, see, now I'll stop and try to express something to you. And then that's where it goes haywire. Because I try to explain something. When Brother Branham is talking about like the Lord Jesus, none of us ever be like Lord Jesus. None of us ever, you think you'd be like Lord Jesus? None of us can ever be like the Lord Jesus. Now you got it to where we can't reach it. Why don't we dismiss and go home, eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die. What are you doing here? If you think you can't make it, what was that saying about in the football? Either lead, follow, or get out of the way. So if you think you can't make it, best thing to do, back up, go home, have your own little pity party at home by yourself. You say, well, you sure don't sound like a preacher. What kind of one you want to hear? You want me to come out here and tell you how good you are? There ain't nothing no good in none of us. The only goodness about any of us is what God has given unto us. It is not he that hath made us. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. That's scripture. Psalmist David had that to say about it. Well, see, we put something to where we can't reach it. And I know I get into trouble. I don't get into trouble trying to explain it the wrong way, because people are saying now that Jesus done wrong. I've never said Jesus done wrong. No, because he was Almighty God. But Jesus done a lot of things in this earth that don't sound good to me and you. I haven't taken a whip and planted it and run you out of the church yet. I said yet. I may have it back here. But you see, we make something to where we can't attain. There ain't none of us like Brother Branham. I'd agree with you. You don't have to argue with me about it. I wasn't made to be that way. But I'm made to be who I am,
right,
and to manifest what God gave me to manifest.
Amen.
Brother Branham was a chosen vessel.
Right.
God kept him from drinking. He wanted to do it. God kept him from smoking. He wanted to do it. He wanted to kill them boys. He even wanted to kill himself.
Right.
And that's after he had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He tried twice to kill himself.
Right.
One time with a pistol, they wouldn't fire. Another time to grab the power line. We used to teach if anybody took his own life, he died and went to hell. Ain't that right? But we found out in the prophet that ain't true. Because that has nothing to do, what you do with the body has nothing to do with the soul. All right. But see, I'm trying to express something. I do it in every service. We make it so big we can't reach it, or we make it so small we fall into it automatically. Don't do neither one. Just be yourself. Just be yourself. Don't try to act like nobody else. Well, Brother Dale, you don't want us to act like Christ? No. I'm letting you think on that. I want us to be Christ made manifest. I want it to be Christ living in me and you. I don't want it to be something we got to make work, because it won't work like that. Just be yourself. Yeah, but all the preachers I ever hear try to get me to do this, do that. Well, go with them. See? Evidently, you must not agree with some of that. You wouldn't be here. You'd be there with them. See? So you just have to put up with something like me to try my best to get you to just think sanely. God in you and I is what's going to lead us through. There's anything good whatsoever in any of us, it's Jesus Christ. Now that don't give us the right to go out and live like the devil, because we live like the devil, we are the devil. That don't have to be explained. You don't need a revelation about that. You know it's true. But see, a living patience, a living godliness. What? In God. Look what we're supposed to wind up being. 29 on your notes. Now this is the house that God dwells in. Not a building with a big bell on top of it and a high steeple. But a body hast thou prepared me. A body that God can dwell in. Now that was written of the Lord Jesus, right? But it's written of you and I. A body thou hast prepared me. A spiritual body. God can walk in. God can see in. God can talk in. God can work in. Amen. Living instrumentality of God. God walking on 2 feet in you. Glory, the footsteps of the righteous is order to the Lord. God walking in you, for ye are written epistles read of all men. And if the life that's in Christ be in you, you'll bear the life that Christ bore. Why not depend upon what he says? But you see, as long as we're in these human mortals, we will look at one another in the wrong way. Is that true? We look at what people do and don't do to try to judge what they are. Now come on, there you go on the other side of it, because we don't fall into it either. If I go and do wrong, you got a right to tell what I done. You're not destroying my influence. If I went out and got drunk, Brother Collie come along, come and tell you, Brother Dale was out drunk. He's not killing my influence. I kill my influence. I got drunk. But if I didn't get drunk and he comes and tells you, then he's killing my influence. Right? Put it in the right order. This is what God said would take place. It's up to you and I to decide whether we're part of it. And if we think we can't reach it, then we can't. All right. Look what would take place. Page 50. Statue of perfect man. If you die, you take the blood out of a man. You embalm with it. Trouble of it is, a lot of us never get embalmed. Pretty good point. You see, you take the blood out of a man, he's gone. Then the only thing you can do is put another blood back in him if he's going to live again. You took his blood out. And now we put the blood of Jesus Christ in. Now what's he talking about? He ain't talking about no blood transfusion. Right? He's talking about a spiritual happening of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right? The new birth. Put the life of Christ in. Right? And that brings the faith of Jesus Christ. The virtue of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of Jesus Christ. The temperance of Jesus Christ. The patience of Jesus Christ. The godliness of Jesus Christ. The brotherly kindness of Jesus Christ. And the love of God, which is Jesus Christ. He's the head that controls you. And your feet is the foundation faith. Amen. Controlled by the head. Take the people. There you are. There is the perfect man of God when he possesses these virtues. Now evidently somebody must be able to take that place. Keep on reading. Then God representing his church as a bride, a woman. God represents his church as a bride. The way he brings each individual to being his son, to go in the bride, he has brought the bride through these ages till he brings this one complete church into this. Now, let me stop and just say something. Do you believe what he just said? That as he brings the individual, he brings the church. Do you believe that? You ought not have said that. You ought not have agreed with that. Because you're in trouble. Brother Dale, what do you mean? I mean one thing. We look at the early church. And we see that early church and we look at it and it looked like a great position that nobody can ever attain unto. But they did. Through God, right? But then we get over about Martin Luther's age. And Martin Luther come out of it. And he was the messenger to the fifth church age. And he sent the... And he'd holler amen to what I'm fixing to say. And he sat in a pub and drank beer and talked about the Bible. That don't look too good, does it? How many of you been in the pub yesterday? Then you ever get your hand down, Aaron, I'll call you out. He's scratching his head. How many smoked a pipe? Well, poor old Luther can't make it. According to the way we think. Are you listening? If we judge Luther according to our standards today, he was not in the body of Christ. But you know he was. And you know the message of the just shall live by faith is the very thing we're based on. So evidently God must have winked at that Luther couldn't attain. Now you see, John Wesley lived a pretty good life. John Wesley was so much of a strict legalist until he taught that there was no need of drinking black coffee because there was no food value in to drink black coffee. But you see, it went into legalistic forms of works, didn't it? What would our standard judge the Lutherans, the Wesleyans? The Pentecostals come along with the baptism of the Holy Ghost on Azusa Street, speaking in tongues, and look at all of the things that happened. What kind of a judgment do you judge them with? But yet the prophet said that was the completion of the birth. Right out of the seal book, I believe it's 225. Last three messages, last three ages completed the birth, marked the justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What your prophet said. You know that God was pleased to dwell with Martin Luther. You know that God was pleased to dwell with the Methodists. You know, when this begins. Like I said this morning, he was pleased to dwell when the Baptists came along. Because that was bringing back things. The Presbyterian, the moves of, those were moves of God. But when the people denominated, they died on that. But you see, I'm trying to get you to stop that looking at something up yonder so far. Oh, we can't get there. None of us is like Brother Branham. We just never have been anybody like Abraham. David. How many times you give your wife away? Abraham done it twice. One time after God had done told him he was fixing to have a baby and who to have it by. You see? Just remember, folks, God don't look through the eyes we look through. God looks at what's in your heart. Now, if your actions of your body displays a garbage can, you are a garbage can in your heart. That don't have to be explained. But if you're trying, God will make a way. You remember Matthew 5:48, I believe it's a sealed book, where the prophet was saying there, it said, God required for it to be perfect. He said, you know what? If he required us to be perfect, he's got to make a way. And said he did through his own blood. I want to get on that token some had, but we'll hold off on that message a little. But do you see what I'm talking about? We look at things as though we will never reach it. And God says we're already there. How about that? You know the book of Revelation, remember the series I was in this few months ago, maybe a year or two ago, I don't remember. It's been a while. When I was showing the book of Revelations and how that the book of Revelations is showing the bride of Jesus Christ, one standing, Revelation 1, one standing in the midst of seven golden candlesticks, girt about the paps with a golden girdle, like unto the Son of Man. That's Jesus Christ in bride form, because it's girt about the paps, like feminish. The book of Revelation shows us already there. We've already seen the future home we talk about. Well, you know what? By seeing the future home, somebody's going to be there. Why can't we contend that we are the ones? And believe on what God said. If he said it, he's going to make a way. If he's got to put an old preacher like me to holler and scream at you. But you know what the worst thing than me that is? I don't look at what you do. If I did, I would have a heyday preaching. Everybody thinks I do. You know what a heyday would be preaching, wouldn't it? It's like these preachers, that's all they preach about is what you do and don't do. Don't do and do and don't do and don't and don't do. They beat you to death every service. Ain't going off on a man, but making a point. Man said one time he's going to a church. I won't call that out either, but because somebody might think about it. But this man said there was only two couples in the pastor and his wife and daughter. I believe it was right. And every service the man preached on adultery. Well, this brother finally asked his wife, said, "Are you running around?" She said, "No." "Why?" Said, "Well, every service he's preaching on adultery. There must be somebody out of that about six of us or seven of us here that's doing something wrong, because that's all he ever preaches about." But you see, I don't look at what you do and don't do. I look at your desire. And I realize you got faults and failures. But see, I don't depend on my faults and failures. I still depend upon atonement. That's why he is my advocate. You see, what I like about it, he's my advocate. He's my lawyer. He's the district attorney that's trying to condemn me, and he's the judge sitting there, and the case is closed. But yet I still look at you and see what you do. We better believe something the prophet said. Remember, the works of God, believe on him that sent. Did your prophet say this? That the world is covered by a bumper blood to this day. And until this day, there is no sin in the eyes of God. Because sin in the eyes of God, he would have to kill the person. So the world is covered by a bumper blood. What's going to go wrong is when the blood comes away. You think we're in bad shape today. You think there's earthquakes of 100,000 people disappearing. You wait till the blood has come off. California goes under and that thing comes all the way straight into Kentucky. Because it'll be the wrath of God. See, get on to that. I'm just trying my best to get you to not think that you can't do it. But don't think that it's automatically, because you just sat and you, "I got it." "How'd you get it?" "I don't know how I got it, but I got it." I know how God has revealed things to me. It's through the studying of his word. Like I told you, I studied on the message of the token, preached on it for 40 years almost. And just a few months ago, the Lord revealed it to me, and I want to get on it so bad. And showed me right where it fit. 40 years. I might not have a lot of things, but I believe at least I got up to patience. Because I'm still here for one thing. All right, listen. A chain breaks at its weakest link. That's the strongest a chain is at its weakest link. Right? Because that's where it'll break. All right. So now the prophet goes down and he says, "You got this, you got this. And you don't have this," he said, "there's where she breaks." All right, so what's he saying? You got this, you got this, but don't have this, you got a problem. But I'll just bypass that for a while and go on up here. It won't work. You link. It won't work. You got to weld that link together. You know what it is if you truly weld that link? And you take it back to its original condition through working of it, you'll bring it back to a little bit stronger than any other link that's there. Right? Okay? But see, there's where she breaks. Okay. Trying to get through. Let's hurry. Page 51, number 33 on your notes. He's talking about the sealing. You're sealed. The seal shows on both sides whether you're going or coming. They see the seal just the same. There you are, see. When a man or woman possesses this, when the capstone comes down and seals them into the kingdom of God, which is the Holy Ghost. The capstone is the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is the Holy Ghost. Then the word coming from here. Now, where's the word coming from? from the top. See? Then the word coming from here manifests itself through each one of these beings, see, and makes it complete being, its complete being, a tabernacle of the living God, a walking, living example of Christianity. What Christ was, these people are. Because his life is in here. They're in Christ, and their life is dead and hid in God through Christ, and sealed in there by the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 12, that's right. You reckon yourself dead, then you're born of faith and virtue in these things that's needed to you till you're a perfect living image of God. See? The Word coming. Now that's laying the foundation for the later when we get back to it more, that we'll see the Word is the headstone. And we'll see that the Word was the headstone, the prophet said, in a message called Dedication, where that when the two tables of stone went into behind the veil, that was the headstone. You know that Jesus was the headstone? See, that's partial because that was a written word. You know that Jesus was the headstone that rode into Jerusalem on the back of a little donkey? But they rejected him. That's why the stone was rejected. They rejected that stone. And when they rejected that stone, it could not be the headstone. It could only become the cornerstone. Read all the rest of these on the way through and we'll finish up. Maybe the Lord Wednesday. On these things. To see that it's possible. Come on, Brother Boy. If God said they would be a bride in the end time, you know what that means? Well, maybe. We hope so. Nah, that ain't much of a God. If God says they'd be a bride in the end time without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, or any such thing, he must be looking at something else to make sure that we get there, because I got news for you. None of us would be there if we're looking at our own goodness. Because my Bible says that my righteousness is what? Filthy rags in the sight of God. All right. Now listen. Then if it says there's going to be, then it must be. And God's already shown us the future home. He's already showed a bride in glory. He's already shown the book of Revelation is the future. He's already shown you how perfect you are. Right. And when Brother Branham went beyond the curtain of time, didn't he see people there? Well, you know, if we're going to be there, we had to be there in what he saw. Right? Because he saw his people, not Branham's now. Converts. Who are we? All this church here, who are we? We're converts to the prophet's message. Right. The prophet's message has brought us to the position. See, it's not hard to believe what God says if we put it in the correct order. You remember the little donkey that was going up? And he said, Mama, you know, the fictional story. So the little donkey said, Mama. He said, but when I get up there, said that priest is going to see me, how ugly I am, my old flopped ears and things. And said, he's going to kill me. She said, but honey, that he's not looking at you. He's looking at your sacrifice. You know, a man went up in the Old Testament, laid his hands on that animal. And that animal died. He believed that animal took his place. See, it was animal that caused the fall. Animal was taken in the Old Testament because of the fall. Made a sacrifice because of the fall, because the animal was what caused the fall through the beast. But see, the one I'm talking about is the Lord Jesus Christ that come down to make a way. The word that he would not only do away or cover our sins, as the Old Testament brings it, but to eradicate. The Bible says that our sins is what? As far as the east is from the west. Now, it didn't say north and south because you can find them two poles. Right? But it says east and west. See, you can't find a stopping place. You can't go so far and say, well, this far is east, and in a minute we're going west. No, it just flows right on through. You remember the story of the man that the prophet told about, said that, you know, that he'd shouted and hollered so much until his daughter was scared. They're going to have a big party downstairs, so she took old grandpa, you know, and she put him upstairs, and she thought, now, I can't give him any kind of a thing to, you know, for him to make a racket with, so she gave him the Bible. I said, sit down there, Daddy, and just read, you know. Well, all at once, Daddy, they get in their big party downstairs and the big shindig with all of the ladies' society and everything, and about that time, they start a big racket upstairs. And the girl runs running upstairs, you know, and she says, Daddy, what's wrong? I said, we put you up here where you'd be quiet and give you the Bible. I said, what's the matter? He said, I just reading in here. And said, I was reading to her that, no, he gave him a geography book, excuse me, right, I'll get the story right. Give him a geography book. He said, I was reading in this geography book and said, I found out in this geography book that they say that there's places in the ocean that the ocean is so deep they've never found the bottom. She said, yeah. He said, now I remember reading in the Bible that he put my sins in the depth of the sea. Says, that means they're still going. Amen. No stopping place. Just according to what we think God says. What do you think God says about you? Yes, but Brother Dale, I got so many faults and failures, okay? Remember the little colored lady that said, I want to testify. Brother Brown said, okay, go ahead. She said, I want you to know, I'm not what I ought to be. And I'm not what I want to be. But said, I'm not what I used to be. She knew she'd come from somewhere. And that's the way it is in the Christian life. Fall so much in love with God and His Word until you see all these other things go. Come here. Let's stand and sing. 331
the red book.
331 the red book. Anybody has a need? The earth with glory the filled, I shall look from the in the morning when I reach that city. Anybody have a need? Oh, that city on Mount Zion, I'm a fill. Our brother is standing for someone else to have surgery. Father, you placed it upon our brother's mind to come to be prayed for this person. So now we lay our hands upon our brother agreeing with him. You said if any two would agree, then all is well. And we believe you. Everything will be okay because we believe you. And we thank you. In Jesus' name. Just go believe it and see. That city on Mount Zion. I'm a pilgrim. I love it still. I'll not leave it through the ages when I reach. Anybody else who just have a need? Be talking about Jesus. Brother Ram said, the revelation of Jesus Christ is the capstone revelation of the entire Bible. Where is his last form? Where is the last form of the Lord Jesus? In his bride. Amen. Let's just give you a prayer cloth. All right. Our brother needs a job. It's a bad time to be hunting one. Not when God's in it. Right? So let's just believe with our brother. Put this in your billfold. Father, we expect a testimony back that our brother has found a job. You make it manifest in Jesus' name. It's simply believing. Go believe. Anybody else? Leave it through the ages when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city on my side. I'm a pilgrim. I'm a pilgrim. You love him? I'll not leave it through the ages when I reach that city on the hill. Amen. I'll reach that city on the hill. The Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall fall and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to reign. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings, right, as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Let's just speak to him now before we go home. Father, we thank you, and we ask you to teach us to wait. And sometimes it's hard because we don't want to wait. We want to try to get ahead. We want to do this, that, or the other. But it's not for us to do. It's us to depend upon you. So we ask you, Father, to just help us and guide us and let your love be made manifest in each one of our hearts and lives. Guide us, Lord, as we dismiss, be with everybody on the way home, give everybody a safe journey. We love you, and we thank you. Forgive our sins because we know that we fail you. But we're not dependent upon our failures. We're dependent upon what you say about us. And you've already shown us to be perfect. So why can't we believe what we are? And then walk away from the old filth of life and walk closer to you. We love you and we thank you. And have your way now in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Member of the service is Wednesday. Member Brother Richard be with us this